Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Joe's gonna kill you. Joe's gonna kill you. So this is 16 years ago.
Joe's still killing people.
Joe's still killing people. He's back to killing people.
Yep.
Well, new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how in the hell are you doing?
I'll say this before I really, Joe didn't need to kill Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross killed Karrion Kross.
No, Vince killed Karrion Kross by putting him in red overalls.
What the hell?
Oh my god!
And where's Scarlett?
What happened with that?
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Like, she just stopped appearing on TV.
The behind the scenes, I think, was that she is supposed to come back and help him redeem himself. But like, boy, when it comes to not getting a pop at all, Karrion Kross has proven himself to be a master.
Well, they're a package deal. They're great together.
Right.
Yeah, so were Lana and Rusev.
Well, yeah, you think they're a package deal until the draft happens and then they get separated. So, you know, and she's a decent wrestler. So I don't know why they're not doing it. But anyways, whatever.
I mean,
so.
You joke about the draft, but I seriously think in the past, Vince has done that just to fuck with people.
Oh,
like he's separated couples. Like,
ha-ha! Or tag teams.
Well, now instead of seeing each other 7 days a week and being in a normal relationship, they see each other for, you know, 36 hours.
Welcome to having a
Look, I've been in relationships where I wish I only had to see them for 36 hours.
You and me both, buddy. Yeah.
You know.
Yep. But, well, this is an exciting day. Again, we had, like, TNA, man. Like, the last TNA match we watched was
awesome.
Off the chain.
What was that? What kind of match was that? King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain.
Oh, my God. I think it was awesome.
And so, doing that one, we had that one, yep. And so, the 5-6-way match from Slammiversary.
I mean, TNA was great.
And so, having that, we have heard you, that you want more TNA. We got great people in these matches. This was, and we will talk about it, this was the 5-star match of TNA.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know this.
And so, yep. And so that is why this was picked, is because obviously with Joe being back, Styles doing what Styles always does, you got Christopher Daniels doing what he, like, just being great in AEW too. And so, yes, it only made sense that this one was covered at a time, which also, too, we are kind of like right on the anniversary of it, actually, as well, too. It was September. This was September 11th, now being September 13th today.
And for the first time ever, I am not, I do not know who won this. And you do, because you do a lot of, okay, I always know. I do not know who won. I'm very excited about this.
Good. Okay.
Okay, so I'm stopping at match 10 then.
Okay, and so hang on. I will delete it.
There you go.
And so Tom and I have shared notes, and so I have...
Normally I know who won because I just know who won, or I'll see it in here as we're doing our prep, but I did not look, so I'm very excited about this.
I have removed it for Tom, so yes. So we've got all kinds of reasons to cover this, so...
Okay, Tom's good. That's all I needed to hear. 5-star. I'm into this TNA stuff right now. We'll talk more about it, but I am on board. And this is also fun to watch because I have no idea what the hell happened. So when I put on like a TNA, I have no idea who's going to show up. I have no idea who wins. I know nothing.
Yep.
I've seen almost zero TNA, except for what we've watched for the show.
Well, we're about to fix that today.
Good.
A little bit more.
Well,
of that.
I'm pumped.
It's good.
All right. So we're excited to cover this one. Let's get right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
2005, September 11th of 2005, gosh, just 4 years after 9/11. TNA Impact Zone in Orlando, obviously, at the soundstage there.
Yep. A
couple dark matches, and then 3 live crew, which was Road Dogg, Conan, and R-Truth.
Ron Killings,
yeah, defeating the Diamonds in the Rough. Elix Skipper, Simon Diamond, and David Young, 4-minute match. Austin Aries defeating
Roderick Strong.
Really?
Yep. You're going to go through this card.
Roderick Strong.
Roddy Strong. You're going to be surprised who's on this card. Buddy.
I didn't look at this card, so I'm very surprised by this.
And you should recognize this another name here, guest of the Payoff on the next card or next match. Yep.
Okay, so just on TV recently. He's in the gun club.
Yeah.
So Kip James and Monty Brown.
Yep.
Defeating Apollo and Lance Hoyt.
Who is now Lance Archer.
I didn't know that.
We hung out with him.
I didn't know that. Okay, so he used to be Lance Hoyt. I did not know this.
Giant motherfucker that we hung out with at Starcade. Starcast. Yeah. Yep. Great guy, too.
This is
2005.
I need to go watch this entire show.
I know, man. Yep.
I have that TNA network.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened?
No.
I don't either. I got an email basically saying, like, hey, we screwed up. The next 6 months are free. I think they, like, lost everybody's credit card or some bullshit. So I'm not paying for it right now.
Okay.
Hey, you have my password.
We can do it. Yeah.
They're not smart enough to.
They don't care. Okay. A1i's on it, bro.
I'm not a big password share, but have it.
Hey, we'll get it. Yep.
All right. Chris Sabin defeats Petey Williams in 12 minutes. Abyss defeats Sabu in a no disqualification match. That would be fun to watch. Bobby Roode defeats Jeff Hardy in 9 minutes.
Yep.
The Naturals, Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens, accompanied by Jimmy Hart. Didn't know Jimmy Hart was in. Okay. Defeating Alex Shelley and Johnny Candido, Chris Harris and James Storm, and then Team Canada, A1 and Eric Young. Four-way elimination match. They went 18 minutes.
Yep.
Raven defeating Rhino in a 14-minute Ravens Rules match for the heavyweight championship. But the main event is an X Division championship.
Yep.
What a wild card, man.
Yeah, and like I said, all kinds of big names. 2005 feels like ages ago.
We'll talk more about this, but it's a shame that TNA didn't know how to run a fucking business.
Yeah.
Because they had a great wrestling product.
That's
what screwed them.
Yep.
That's what screwed ECW. They didn't know how to run the business.
And that's why Tony Khan is successful.
That's the difference.
He knows how to do the business. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, yep. So, good stuff. So, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Very exciting. So how do we get to this match?
How do we get here? Yeah. And so you've got Joe really at this point in 2005. He's doing double duty in Ring of Honor and TNA. He actually signed with TNA. It was June 14th, 2005. So he had barely been on the roster for very long at this point because this is taking place September 11th, him signing in June. And so he had not been around for very long at this point. Styles, he was the champ at this point. He had beat a bunch of people. Like just pretty much, you know, all the other people on this card were people he had beat. And so Abyss, Frankie Kazarian, Ron Killings, like, you know, he was taking on all of them and beating all of them. Christopher Daniels at the same, also doing double duty with Ring of Honor and TNA. One of his more recent matches that he had actually with Ring of Honor, he went to a 1 hour time limit draw with one Chick Magnet Punk. And so, you know, Daniels has just had a great match with Punk. And so, you know, we're getting that. He was also feuding with Jeff Jarrett at this point too. But, you know, these guys, a lot happening. So I found some decent notes on this one. So prior to this show, TNA actually had, it was the TNA Super X Cup tournament to determine the number one contender to the TNA X Division Championship. Makes sense. And so 8 men, of course, Joe and Styles making it to the final round at the previous pay-per-view, which was Sacrifice on August 14th. It was the X Division champ at the time was Christopher Daniels. He was actually part of the promos. He was calling it the Christopher Daniels Invitational. So you had Joe and Styles kind of in the finals of this. Christopher Daniels playing up that it was for him and his title and kind of going there. So at that one, you had Joe beating Styles. It was actually after interference, though, from Christopher Daniels in dealing with that. And so a little bit more back and forth at this point, like over, you know, the next course, the next few nights, which also someone we did not say, Tom, who is the announcer for this show? Mike Tenay. And so Mike Tenay actually doing the announcing and saying that Daniels would defend his title against Joe that night on the TNA TV or Impact. Yeah. I got to remember what it's called. So, of course, though, during that night, though, you had Daniels kind of going after Joe. Styles came out and attacked Daniels, really just, you know, because he was still upset it's from Sacrifice. So just, you know, a lot of back and forth at that point, kind of dealing with it. And so, you know, kind of dealing with that and kind of, you know, going back and forth. Having the, you know, really being promoted as the X Division Dreamboat at this point. You had, you know, the competitors were just some of the top in the field at this point. Like, they're absolutely, you know, they, you know, big names. There were people that people wanted to see, and so it made sense to just bill it that way. And so we get to, you know, after just this little bit, you know, a little interference here and there, some buildup from the previous pay-per-views, you get this main event, X Division Championship, which Christopher Daniels holding the belt and going against the challengers, AJ Styles and Samoa Joseph. So let's get into it, man.
Thoughts? I think this is going to be phenomenal.
Let's do it. Yeah. Could be phenomenal. We'll see if Joe kills anybody.
We're watching this on Daily Motion.
Yep.
I just typed in TNA Unbreakable 2005. It popped right up. That's the beginning of the title of the video, so just type that in. We're going to start this at the four-minute mark. All three guys are in the ring, and we're ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right. Starting it up. Here we go. Baby Styles. Baby everybody.
You like Styles looking like this, like really young, or do you like his look now?
I like the long hair.
I do too. I think he looks tougher now.
Yep.
I think he just looks like really, really tough now.
He's very much a baby face back then.
He still does like most of the high flying shit he did back then, right? Yep. I mean, he still moves around like it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think he's lost a step?
No, not at all. And so, since he's come, he's gotten guys over like he should. It's just been phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, he's doing like the tag team thing right now, but I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a – I mean, what Styles – what year did he debut?
Good question. It's been a while.
16, 17?
It feels like it – like it shouldn't have been.
I'm going to guess Royal Rumble 16. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it was 16.
Right? Okay. So five – you can't be in the world title picture for 5 years.
Right.
And you now, know, I mean, it's just – I think it's great.
He comes and goes. He's putting young guys over at this point, too. You figure
he's... So it's Christopher Daniels. Is he in AEW?
AEW now, yes.
Okay. So there you What's go. His tag team?
Oh, my gosh. Not the best friends. It's escaping me. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Me, too.
Twitter's going to shred us for this. Yep. Anyway, so we'll
get... Because those two are walking... They were walking around StarCast. They're like... They're really nice guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Absolutely. And so, super nice. Yeah.
Is that... That's their name. Super nice. No. That's the tag team name?
No.
What the hell is it?
We'll figure it out. Oh, my God. The fact that we're drawing a blank on this is terrible. So, yeah.
Wow. AJ and Joe just did like a total elimination to him. Like, just the one sweeped his leg, the other kicked him. That was awesome. Man, Joe looks like a million bucks, dude. Just like fast as shit. And
Joe Young looking real little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank God that he's wrestling again. I think they did the right thing by putting the belt on him. They did...
Going for the submission already.
They did the wrong thing for Karrion Kross, because Karrion Kross just... That's... Yeah.
Oh, it's okay for him to lose, but I mean... Do something with him on the main roster. Don't just throw him up there and looking like a goof.
Right, which he looks like a big time goof. And so having to deal with that. Right out of the gate, Daniel's hot as well too. Both guys kind of going at it. I think we've talked about it four times. Six-sided ring. Thoughts?
I mean, I'm fine with it. You know, I respect them trying to do something different, but. Gosh, you know, it's the thing is, every boxing match in history, every professional wrestling match in history, they've all been in a certain type of ring.
Yeah.
So it's easy to look at this and go, okay, it's taped on a soundstage. The ring looks smaller. So, this has to be kind of gimmicky. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, overall, probably no. I'm all for being different and trying different stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know if this provided, and again, I haven't watched enough TNA, but I don't know if this setup provided anything different. Like, are you going to see anything that's going to happen in this ring that wouldn't have happened in a squared ring?
We'll find out. It's SCU.
Okay.
Wow, that was terrible.
I could not remember.
We both blanked on that one. Twitter, please don't. Thanks. But anyway, so, yeah. So, you got all these guys, you know. So, right out of the gate, we got... some good action, Joe. Everybody kind of getting in some offense at this point. All the guys kind of going at it with each other. And so definitely interesting. So this is one, too, at the time. You know, we've heard some news coming out about spoilers from tapings.
Yeah. So what? Yeah.
Explain
to everyone what happened initially.
The story that's getting out is that they're taping some NXT shows right now, and USA hates that for one because, as they said, we didn't pay for a taped show. But there were some reporters that have tweeted, and it's kind of been on Reddit, and it's kind of been out there that they have been, you know, even like sharing the news of what's happening. And that information is getting out there via spoilers, and they are either removing people from the tapings or like banning people from going to the tapings if they're sharing NXT spoilers on social media.
So are they taping every episode?
Right now they are a little bit.
Oh, they did because they're doing – okay. But they're not taping every episode. But they were taping a handful.
Yes.
Okay.
And to get them through some areas
yes,
here.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they really don't want them to. But yes. And so – like – for. Like today, like they're called. Yeah. So at this point, all we know is that, yes, reporters have been kicked out. They're not allowed back at the Performance Center and or whatever they're calling it now. It's one of those where I don't understand how you win this argument. Like with the spoilers, it makes no sense to me how do you fight that? You don't. Daniel's doing a springboard off to Joe on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I see both sides of it. I get it, but yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't know.
What do you do outside of like getting those lock boxes? And then when people walk in, they have to lock their phone. But even then, people, you know, you just know. Like,
I know. I mean, there's always going to be wow.
Moonsault AJ to Joe and Daniel's on the outside.
I mean, it's always going to happen, right? Even if you have 100 people there. But at the same time, like, I've sat by people at tape shows, and they've sat there in their phone the entire time, like, writing down notes and timestamps. And I'm like,
no.
Dude, just fucking enjoy yourself. You know, you're spending all this money to be there. Like, just enjoy yourself, man. Like, be in the moment and instead of, like, sending spoilers. Like, who cares?
Well, and that's
what... So I don't know why, you know... I you know, but again, I mean, I guess if you work for a wrestling website and you want to put them up, then okay.
Well, and I don't think I've ever gotten a good picture or video from a wrestling show. Probably the only one I got decent stuff from was the Ring of Honor, New Japan, War of the Worlds show that I went to. Me and the boys sat third or second row. Like, and we were right on the side of the ring. And so I got some good shots there. But other than that, like, if you're taking photos, like, from, you know, the 100 level, you're not getting good pictures. And so, yeah, to deal with that stuff through camp, like, it just makes no sense. But the spoiler piece of it, I just, I don't know. I struggle with it. Because, yeah, like, they're going to share it. But then to punish people for sharing it, it also makes no sense to me.
Yeah. It's like you're wrong for doing it and you're wrong for kicking people out for doing it.
Right. Well, and this, it always makes news every single time there's like a wrestling show where it's like no video and it's like the venue doesn't want video or something like that. And it just ends up on Reddit and Reddit goes nuts over it. Like, I just don't get it. So just crazy. So we're back in the ring now. You got Daniels kind of working over both AJ and Joe. Joe and AJ in opposite corners.
We kind of talked about it earlier, but I mean, if TNA had... the right person. Oh, jeez. I don't even know how to describe it. If you're listening to this, not watching the match, go watch this match. I mean, I can't even call some of this stuff.
That was a slingshot, I think, into a Hurricane Rana is the best way to describe that. Yeah. But yeah, that was crazy.
So
everybody's on their feet too.
So if, I guess, you know, if TNA had people running the business that knew how to run a business, would they have looked substantially different at this stage? My guess is yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know, I just... you know, and again, but it's easy when your dad owns the Jaguars to say, hey, we want a shot on TNA and we have all the money in the world and we've, you know, right. threw a bunch of money at Chris Jericho. And, you know, I mean, so there a lot of stars aligned for AEW to do what it's been doing, including the four VPs having that show and basically launching the promotion without launching a promotion. So, right. you know, a lot of stuff came into play. It's not as simple as, oh, it's just Tony Khan. I mean, but man, it's, you know, if TNA again had the right person versus a family that was in the energy business in Texas, but had a daughter that was running PR agency in Nashville that got involved in this thing. And God love Jeff Jarrett, but, you know, he had never run a promotion before. And yeah, his dad promoted spot shows for years in Memphis and, you know, in that area. But, you know, again, you need a Vince McMahon, right? And even WCW, you know, Bischoff was probably in over his head to a certain degree, and they were part of a much larger organization that didn't really know how to run a wrestling promotion. So, yeah, I say all that to say that, you know, everything that happens with AEW moving forward, it could have been TNA. Now, do I think that AEW right now is better than TNA ever was? Yeah, I do. But TNA, it's funny how it's like a laughing stock, but they've been around for over 20 years.
Yep.
A ton of people have come through. They actually did some pretty darn good TV ratings. You know, I mean, there's a lot there. And I can't remember the number, but TNA, like the year they were most profitable, they made a shit ton of money. Jeff Jarrett said it on his podcast. He may have not said the exact number, but I'm like tens of millions of dollars. And that was after paying back some of the debt they had, like their profit after everything. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know, I couldn't believe it. I mean, what they were able to do. So it's just funny how we laugh about TNA and, you know, and yeah, it hasn't been perfect, but man, they've done some great stuff. And oh, by the way, over the past 20 years, WWE hasn't been perfect either.
8 to 10 million
profit.
Yes.
After they paid back debt and everything.
As he said, okay, profit, and that's paying bills and paying investors back and paying all kinds of things back, 8 to 10 million.
Yeah. Because when you're paying the investors back and you're paying debt and stuff like that, to still have 8 to 10 million,
yep.
it's phenomenal. So you're making $1 million a month after doing all of that stuff.
Yep.
So I mean, I can't even what did they generate? 50 million that year? 60? I mean, it's just, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yep, absolutely. These guys still going at it. Good match so far. Just kind of a lot of, I say, stiff wrestling. Kind of Joe laying out AJ at that point with drop kicks and kind of all over the place. We did see a coquina clutch at one point there. AJ had broken that up when Joe had Daniels locked up.
Do we know if Joe signed a new contract?
Good question. I don't know. Hey, I feel like we hear more and more about contract signings lately, but I don't know. I was happy to see him bring the Muscle Buster back.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was great.
We can talk about that. I think that's one of the... Like,
how long had it been? Had he not done it in a long time?
Long time.
Since he hurt? Did he hurt Cody Rhodes?
He hadn't done it on NXT in a very long time.
Is that who he hurt was Cody?
And he never did. I think so. And then he never did... He never really did it on the main roster. And so it looks super cool. I get it's, that it may not yeah, be he, super and, you safe. Know,
but. Yeah, but it's actually not that bad. He landed him. He was very safe with how he landed. If you look at it, it was basically a suplex. But it looks really cool. So
you just got to make sure they're tucked in there well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got to tuck and then, you know, and he's got to like get them over enough to where they land on their back. But yeah, I'm totally cool with him doing it. I loved watching it.
It was Tyson Kidd, actually.
Oh, Tyson. Oh, okay.
That was what hurt. That was with ended. Tyson Kidd's
career. I don't know why I had Cody Rhodes moment. Okay, so yep. Tyson Kidd.
Yep. And so that was him dealing with that. Yeah. And so AJ, we got flips and shit wow. now. Yep. AJ and Daniels on the outside. You know Joe's coming. You can see it. Like, yep, here we go. Whoa.
Wow.
Over the top rope, Joe diving. Yep. Kind of corkscrewing into everyone. Wow. Crazy. Yep.
Place going nuts. We're playing the sound. You probably can't hear it the way we have the microphone configured because it's coming from the opposite side. But that was, man, that was really something. Yeah, the crowd's going nuts, man. Yep. The impact zone.
So, yeah, so pretty much he switched to the Coquina clutch, which was kind of what he did. He said that it was out of respect for TJ Wilson, not because it was banned or any, or TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd. I don't know what, yeah.
That's his real name.
Oh, yeah, duh. And so,
some of these guys, Jeff, that's not their real name.
Right.
Like Roman Reigns, that's actually not his name.
I'm learning things every day. And so, he's another Joe. Joe could kill him too. So, but it was more out of respect for Tyson Kidd, and then so not banning, but yeah. But yeah, that was
I've said it before, I'll say it again, but I just want to say it. I hate the name Roman Reigns. I hate the name Seth Rollins. I hate all these stupid ass names, and there's no reason for them. Wow.
Oof. That was like a launching suplex from Joe to Daniels and AJ. Yes.
You're better at describing these moves than I am.
That is. I've been trying to learn a little bit more from Pat McAfee and kind of, you know, some of the announcers nowadays kind of, you know, Corey Graves is really good at it too. And so just trying to learn some of this. And that's the thing. An RKO, it could be called six different things if it's not an RKO. But so I might be using some.
Do you know the original name for the RKO?
I don't.
It was the Ace Crusher because that was Johnny Ace's fantasy move. Ace, he's the one that came up with it. Here's another piece of trivia. Triple H in his first match in the WWF, he used the Ace Crusher as his finishing move.
Really?
Yeah. So if you go back and you watch it in a squash match, he hits a RKO to win the match.
The most protected finisher in all of wrestling. Yep. And so the RKO out of nowhere. Yep. Joe really just tossing AJ around at this point. Like, these guys going at it pretty good.
What'd you think of their WWE feud?
Who, Joe and, like, yeah. Oh, here we go, Muscle Buster, hang on.
Oh.
Hit it.
Oh! Yep. See, he dropped him right on his freaking neck.
Yeah. And so, he hit him good, though.
So now he's calling for what, the Coquina clutch?
Yeah. He's just going to pin him. AJ, great job of ragdolling. Yep, Joe going for it. Nope, but Daniel's rolling back in.
With the X Division belt.
Huge suplex, yeah, good stuff. On the belt, look at that, yep. I'm sorry, okay, yeah, so their feud, I thought, you know, it's not memorable. I think that's part of it. Like, I think they just haven't utilized, you know, lately, at least Joe, like, he could be utilized.
What would you do with Joe from this point forward?
At this point forward, I'd just have him have the NXT belt forever. Like, and so, but I think, because it's...
Isn't that sad that that's basically, like, what we want at this point is, like, God, just stay down there.
Well, and at this point, because they're saying, like, Johnny Gargano is going to be, like, the top heel. Pete Dunne as well. If Pete Dunne sticks around, we'll see if that happens. By the time this really comes out, we may have a better idea. Because who challenges him? Like, you know, I feel like they've done, like, certain guys, they've done a... Like Damian Priest, it seems like they could be strapping the rocket to him. You know, he's got a belt on him now. He's grown on me. I actually like the guy after seeing him in a few weeks. So he needs to get away from the dripstick and the Miz Morrison bullshit, which thank God that feud is going to cap off finally. Which that should actually be a good match because those guys are really good friends. And so I think that could actually be a pretty decent match. But yeah, I mean, who does Joe? I mean, because also, are you keeping Joe as a face? Like, you know, that's hard. I don't know how you do that. Maybe it goes then against Johnny Gargano. They do a three series or something like that.
I mean,
that.
I'm okay with just a badass, like, Joe face, you know?
Right. And so you kind of take that approach and do that. I think that would work fine. And so, but it's hard to say. Daniel's big moonsault there, landing on AJ. Joe would save. I think that how we view NXT, like, today in mid-September... It's going to be very different come December, January. Like,
I'll tell you, they better do something because they've completely lost my interest. I have zero interest in watching the weekly show. The pay-per-views,
yep.
You know, they're not what they used to be. God, I still remember that show in Dallas with
Shinsuke
and Sami Zayn. Oh my! And there were great bunch of great matches, but those little 2-hour pay per views they used to do were out of this freaking world.
Well, that's not, they don't do that anymore. The tight 2.5 hours, they don't do that anymore. Like,
they're just going to conform to Raw and SmackDown. Okay, yep. It's just going to be a third show. It's going to look the same. It'll be in a smaller venue. Hell, they'll probably start taping it before Raw and SmackDown, like they did with ECW. I mean,
205 Live.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. Well, the same shit.
And you do got to wonder, did Vince wake up? Because the news had always been Vince doesn't care, Vince doesn't pay attention. Did he wake up one day and decide, hey, I need to get control of my company back? Or like, did he, you know, is he just like, I don't like the product that's coming out of there? Because, yeah, a lot of those people, like, that were rock stars in NXT are long gone. Like,
well, and you don't know what Nick Khan's influence in all this is either.
Yeah, you don't know that. But and people getting called down, like Mandy Rose. She got called down and is like a manager down there. Like, why? Like, do you not have anything to do for her?
No,
like,
they don't.
Right, yeah, that's the sad reality is they don't. Like, and so that piece of it makes zero sense.
Going huge superplex.
Big super, yep, superplex off top rope. Got it. Daniels to AJ. They've got a kind of, I like the cool camera angle that like they're kind of looking up at them from the top rope. They've done it a few times. It's actually, it makes them, it's a whole making them look bigger than they are type thing. Got Joe crawling over trying to get to somebody to cover them.
So speaking of Nick Khan.
Yep.
What was your thought on that move the needle comment that you made a few weeks back?
He is a pure businessman. Like, you know, I think back to two when he made the comment about like we're fighting sleep, you know, and he said that that was like one of their competitors is who they're trying to fight, Joe with another submission. I don't know. Like, he's just he's obviously was brought in to make major changes, and that's what he's doing. And so, you know, and right now it's I almost feel like it's weird. Like, we're talking more about the sound bites from these behind the scenes people than we are about the product that they're putting on television. And so I struggle with that because that's not how it should be. I shouldn't know who Nick Khan is.
Yeah.
Because I get it. Like, the move the needle thing. Like, yeah, you know, he's probably right about that of just kind of, you know, but
here's the thing. If Nick Khan says Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman did not move the needle.
Yep.
He actually is 100% right. But whose fucking fault is it?
Right. The company.
You know, and they made the decision that, hey, we're out of the business of Hulkamania, John Cena, Rock and Austin. We're out of the star business. And we're all about WWE.
Yep.
Okay, we're all about, like, the NFL calls it the Shield, right? So, like, that's there. So AJ's had him up in a torture rack. Now he's spinning him and going for the pin. Two count. Wow. Great, great, great fucking match. But they're out of that. But so no one moves the needle. I mean, Roman Reigns doesn't move the needle.
Nope.
No one actually moves the needle.
Yep.
So if you look at Strowman, and I don't know what his guarantee was. I think it was like $1 million a year. It was pretty high. Is he worth it? Well, no. No one's really worth it.
Yep.
Honestly. Well, but again, what do you do? So no, they're not moving the needle, but if Bray Wyatt, if they had done everything right with Bray Wyatt, would he move the needle?
Yep.
He would. That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Daniel Bryan, if you would
Styles Clash.
Styles Clash, is that it?
Yep. Got Daniels with the Styles Clash. We got
one, two.
Nope, Joe with the save. Yep. Here we go with the close finishes.
If Daniel Bryan, since he came back, if they had used him right, would he move the needle? Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about this most recent.
Now, yeah. Well, I'm just saying in general. So I agree that it sounds harsh, but he is right. None of these guys move the needle, but they don't move the needle because they've made a lot of superstars and they've made zero megastars.
Yep. And because they just won't, like I said, there's no rapid, or as we say around here, there's no rockets getting strapped to anybody.
Who's the closest person they have to a needle mover?
For me, it'd be Becky.
Okay, and I was going to say Brock Lesnar.
Brock, yeah.
I'm just saying, if someone that, again, if you actually talk about someone that could draw rating or, you know, draw higher buy rate or, you know, have more eyeballs on Peacock or whatever measurable, but yeah. I mean, that's probably about it. And the reason is, it's not because they booked Brock well. It's because Brock will only work certain dates, so it forces them to not overexpose them, to not put them into shitty storylines.
Eight matches.
But none of these guys move the needle.
Yeah, eight matches. He's not going to have a TV match. You know, it's just how it is.
And I'd argue with you. Wow, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That was
Wow, that was it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Kind of bridged him up. Okay.
Wow. Okay, so that was just 20 minutes, 15
pure
minutes
wrestling.
Of just nonstop, incredible action. Wow. That was awesome. And that was a hell of a finisher. I've never seen that done before.
Everybody on their feet, yep.
I've never seen that done before. Wow, that was awesome. All right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
So, yeah, how did this kind of play out? So, these guys, again, like, these guys, this was really the start of it all. Like, this was, there was a lot more to this. So, Bound for Glory, your next pay-per-view, AJ actually defeating Christopher Daniels. It was a 30-minute Iron Man match where he retained on that one. They then had a 4-on-4 tag team elimination X match, which is Genesis, which was the pay-per-view on November 13th, where you had a lot of these guys kind of working together, primarily Team Ministry as Shelley, Daniels, Samoa Joe, and Roddy Strong, defeating the team of Austin Aries, Chris Sabin, Matt Bentley, and Sanjay Dutt. After the contest, for that one, Joe actually assaulting Daniels, giving him a muscle buster a couple times, actually, one time onto a steel chair. Daniels having, at the time, they were kind of playing up the storyline injury at that point, which sidelined him with, you know, until the following pay-per-view. These guys really just all the way through like February and even into March. I say they had in March, they had an Ultimate X match for the championship. Daniel's actually winning that one to become the X Division champion. Really, like I say, they kind of capped this off. It ended, if you will, it was April 13, 2006. Really, you know, at this point, you know, close to 10 months after we got this match. You know, kind of going back and forth and having that with then Joe actually defeating Daniels to win back the championship at that point. After these guys just kind of, you know, kind of kept going back and forth. And then, you know, finally it was actually, it was a rematch again from a previous one. You know, just all kinds of matches with these guys. And so it was a three-way match between these guys again, Styles winning that one. So really for the next 10 months, these guys just kept going at it with each other. They kept going back and forth. They kept going, you know. So where were we at in the rankings on this one? It's weird to think in 2005, which I was not watching a whole lot of wrestling in 2005, but yet Styles was the number 7 wrestler in the world. Daniels was 17. Joe was 22.
Okay.
And so, and then compared to the Unforgiven pay-per-view, which was held at the same really time as this one, the Unbreakable rating was actually higher.
Okay.
And so, you know, kind of interesting. Just
well, Unforgiven, I don't know, but I bet you Unforgiven 2005 was probably one of those B shows where it was just SmackDown or Raw, right?
So,
tell me.
And so it was a Raw show.
Yeah, there you go. So those almost all sucked.
And the main title or the main match of this one was Kurt Angle and John Cena for the WWE Championship. This was also, you had the Shawn Michaels and Chris Masters. You had Matt Hardy beating Edge, Big Show defeating Snitsky, sure, okay. Ric Flair beating Carlito for the Intercontinental Championship. Like, yeah, so there's just...
Yeah, we covered that Master Shawn match.
Yep, exactly. And so, yeah, just not great. But so the write-ups on this one, you know, the first TNA match to receive 5 stars from Dave Meltzer.
Okay.
This match is also the only TNA match in history to receive the 5 stars. So it was the first one and the only for TNA. So, but interesting though, not a huge write-up though. As they said here, this was the greatest match ever within 1 minute. A hell of a match, which
what do you mean within? Oh, like
within the first right out of the gate.
Okay.
And so, a hell of a match, which more than saved the show. It saved about the next 5 shows. So, yeah, a lot of action, really hot. I'm actually going to give it an 8.5. It was nonstop. It was just a lot happening. It was very good. You know, nothing to complain about. So, Tom?
I got that at a 9.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that was just awesome.
Yep.
I loved it. I mean, it was non-stop. I know we keep saying that, but it was just non-stop the entire time. Awesome. All three guys were great. The three-way can be awkward at times, but they made it work. I'm sure a tremendous amount of effort goes into, you know, doing a match that way.
Yep.
Yeah. I got nothing but great things to say about that. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. Okay. All right. Send them home happy, Tom. This was a TNA. We will have more TNA in the future, but we will, you know, we'll get there eventually. But this was a good one.
Well, I mean, you know, TNA, Joe's prime.
Oh, yeah.
I hate saying AJ's prime like he's not still doing great stuff, but I mean, he was
top of the mountain. Yeah.
Still in his prime, probably. But I mean, he's doing some incredible stuff, right? Daniels, Angle did some of his best stuff. Right, so you go down the list of how many guys like were just doing incredible stuff at the time. So,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely loved it. Great match. Go watch it if you didn't.
Cool.
All right, we'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.